How do people have a baby?
What's gay?
Out of your Bible.
What is a period?
What is transgender?
What is a condom?
What is a sperm?
What is What is puberty?
What would it be like to be a boy?
But would a boy want to know what it's like to be a girl?
What is sex?
What is sex?
Hello, hello, hello! Let's try something new this season. Hello! Dun-na, dun-na. Welcome to What is Sex? Like four different people are doing it. What is sex?
This is all definitely going in, I hope you know.
Ah!
As Rebecca just said in a delightful way, welcome to What is Sex, Season 2, Episode 2.
Where things are getting wacky. Wet and wild.
Yeah, you know, this is the result of being stuck inside in a heat wave for months, so.
Yeah, seriously. Only getting wacky. I have to turn my AC off because we're trying to improve the sound quality for all of you.
Oh my god, I forgot to turn my AC off. I was thinking about it the whole, up until, like, I was thinking, like, I have to leave it on for hours so that it's cool enough that I can turn it off, and I just realized I didn't turn it off.
No, it's fine. I'm excited for your audio to sound worse than mine. It's season two is my redemption. Rebecca's comeback.
Fair. It's my downfall.
Cool. Rebecca one, Izzy zero. Moving right along. Welcome to What is Sex? Each episode, we discuss one anonymous question we've been asked by a kid while teaching sex ed. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Izzy. We're two of the co-founders of Yes, a nonprofit that provides sex-positive, intersectional, consent-based sexuality education to people of all ages. And we believe, as Aureen, our wonderful guest on this episode, believes, that it's never too early to start having these conversations.
To learn more about us, check out our website, yestoconsent.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at yestoconsent. So today, Izzy, we have some folks with us who you've known for a while.
I'm so excited. My dear, dear friend, second grade friend.
And her mom, who is so lovely to talk to. What a calming presence.
I know, they're a great team, these two.
Yeah, I hope that my chaotic energy is tamed by them throughout this episode. I'm feeling really nutso. I'm just so excited for season two. Can you believe we've reached season two of a podcast that we started?
I am also so excited. We should remind our listeners that we have a Patreon because we love to pay our guests for their time. We love to get people on here who have perspectives that are different from ours. And to do that, we want to pay them. And we love to pay our $12 a month hosting fee so that this podcast can exist. And one day we would even love to pay ourselves. So please look in the description of this episode for the link to our Patreon. And if you've been enjoying our content, just, you know, throw us a dollar a month if you have it. If you really want to get crazy, go to $5 a month. You'll get your name on an episode. What could be better than that?
Yeah, a dollar would be great. Yeah, and maybe if you'd like, I can record your voicemail message and it'll be wacky. Is that something people want? Are people professionals now, or is it still the 90s? I don't know. Welcome to Jasmine's phone. She'll show you the world. Leave a message.
Wow, that's really good.
Thank you. Okay, cool. So let's dive right into this podcast.
Today, we have such special guests with us. Our very first kid guest on What is Sex. We're so excited to have you, Aureen. Aureen Shani is one of my former preschool students, and we've gotten to stay friends even as she moved to California, and we wrote letters and emails, and now back in Philly. So excited to have you, Aureen. Can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Yesterday I finished this book called The Never Girls, Book 8. It was really exciting, and I really liked it. I am 7 years old.
Nice. Going into second grade, right?
Yeah, going into second grade.
All right, and we also have Adva Shani, Aureen's mom, who is a full-scope midwife at Life Cycle Woman Care, also known as the birth center. So excited to have you both here to talk about a very, very big question.
How do people make babies?
That is a big question. Yes.
People? Yeah. Yeah. So, Aureen, we can ask you first. The very first thing we like to think about is, why do you think somebody, a kid, might have been curious about this? Like, what do you think they might have been thinking about when they asked this question?
Maybe they wanted to have a baby or to become a midwife and actually help with that stuff, with midwifery.
So maybe they wanted to know more about the birth process so that they could help people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So true. Adva, do you have any other thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think as all things with kids, people are curious and kids are curious.
Just also wanting to know about stuff.
Exactly, about how things happen, how their body works.
Yeah. When I was like 4, I asked so many questions about midwifery and how mommy worked.
That's true.
And there's a lot of answers, and it was really fun.
That's true.
Learn about that stuff.
You always ask me all the questions because you are also a kid and just want to know about the body, but you also want to know about my work and how I help women to have babies and of their own or people in general.
Yeah.
So that is, so there are lots of questions.
Mm-hmm. Do you, either of you, remember any of Aureen's questions, other questions about midwifery and babies?
Well, one of the questions was actually, how does a baby come out? How is it born?
Mm-hmm. So you wanted to know, how does it actually come out of the body?
Yeah. How does
That's a big question.
How does it get made?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It has to get made.
That's true. That's very true. How, what did we talk about? How is
so
a baby made?
It gets made by two men and women meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And the egg and the sperm meeting too.
Mm-hmm.
And when they meet, the baby starts to grow. But it takes a lot of time. It starts as the egg and continues growing until it's a full baby, or almost a full baby, ready to come out.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. And we always talk about also, it's not only women.
Trans people can also have babies, transgender people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Transgender people can have babies, 'cause transgender is basically someone being two things at once, basically, I guess.
Oh, so two people have to meet, one who has a sperm and one who has an egg, no matter what their genders are. Yeah.
I guess, like, if you're transgender, if you have that period, if you have, like, the egg, and then, like, another part of you, like, has sperm or something, I don't know, like,
Possible, but like, that's true. There's always two. There needs to be a sperm and an egg. It doesn't matter from where they come from. Right?
There always needs to be a sperm and an egg, even if you're two different people.
Yeah. So before we're definitely going to talk about all of this a little bit more, but before we scoot on, is there something that came to mind when you first heard this question, what you thought maybe the kid who was asking was thinking about?
Yeah, I think both of you brought up really good points. And then another thought I had is maybe they're wondering, where did I come from? Because everybody's story sort of about how they got made could be different, right? Whether
and
you were adopted.
Came from somewhere.
Yeah, we all came from somewhere, exactly. Whether you have two moms, two dads, parents who are transgender, parents who are cisgender, it all might look a little bit different. So one thought might just be, how did I get made?
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah,
what about you, Rebecca?
I was sort of thinking more of what Aureen was thinking, which is, I remember being a little kid and having a lot of baby dolls and playing with baby dolls with my friends and pretending to be a mom and thinking, like, how do I know this is just a doll, but how do I make a real one? How do I get a real baby?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be so fun if, like, this baby could hug me back?
Yeah.
I remember finding Aurine when she was, like, not even two, with a baby doll in her shirt. Mm. And she's like, look, mommy, I have a baby in my tummy. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, you're pregnant. When are you due? When is your baby coming?
That's so fun. Yeah, I feel like it could be somebody who's really excited to have a baby, or it could also be a kid who's worried that maybe if we don't know how babies get made, like, could I get pregnant any day? Like, if you know how it happens, then you also don't have to worry that it could happen by accident.
Yeah.
So, yeah, both of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely been in workshops with particularly young girls who think that they can get pregnant all sorts of ways. And they're sort of confused about exactly how it happens. And they know that sperm needs to meet an egg, sort of. But there's a little bit of haziness on, can we kiss? And then I'm pregnant. And if I'm swimming in a pool, can I become pregnant? We can talk a bit more about all of that. And,
well, technically you can get pregnant. Like, the sperm and the egg can meet anywhere if the sperm and the egg meet. Mm-hmm. They can meet, but, they have to meet to make a baby, but they can meet anywhere. It doesn't have to be somewhere in particular that they meet.
So the eggs stay inside the body, right? Unless we take them out with the help of a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But the body to make the egg chooses one egg. They have a lot of eggs where the eggs are, and they choose one. And then twins are made by the body accidentally choosing two at once.
That's right. That's right. Or sometimes if there are two sperms that go into one egg and they split. That's right, because I'm a twin.
Yeah.
So we talked about how twins are born, too.
Yeah. She's a twin sister.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a triplet. She has two triplet brothers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of eggs.
So that means that the body my accident made if too many eggs go up.
That's
or
true.
Not too many, a lot.
Just enough.
A lot. Yeah. Yeah. I know, it does seem like a lot to have three babies growing inside of you all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to, like, get them all out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's even too hard. You have to have surgery to do it.
That's true. Yeah.
I was born with a surgery, me and my sister both, because my mom had a fibroid in her uterus that was growing. Mm-hmm. And when they removed it, it had been embedded in the uterine wall. So her uterus was so thin in that spot that it could burst if she tried to push a baby out. So me and my sister were both born with surgery, with C-sections.
Yeah, we talk about that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was also curious why it's called a C-section. Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
Does anybody know?
I do.
I don't. I knew once. Yeah. I should know.
Like, we looked it up, but like why? Like, at first I was like, C-section, like they get, like, sick.
Like, seasick.
Sick section.
That's a clever association.
Like, why, like... Why would it be called, like, the C-section?
Mm-hmm.
Well, C stands for something. A long word.
Cesarean.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cesarean section.
Rebecca, did you say you do know why it's called that?
I thought I did. I was pretty confident about it 5 seconds ago. I know that the word is cesarean, but I also thought that it had to do with the shape of the cut, but now I don't think that that's true.
I think it's called cesarean because Caesar was a C-section.
Right, that's what I thought, that it comes from Caesar or something like historical, but...
Do you think maybe he preferred that the women he impregnated got a C-section rather than giving birth naturally.
I mean, that's what I've heard, but who knows all the things you can hear.
Huh. But, you know, in those days, it would have been so, yeah, risky. So risky. I mean, not that, I don't know if you would.
I just think the worst of men, particularly men from history.
Yeah, and rulers,
right?
And,
exactly.
Yeah, conquerors. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do a little fact check post. So the next thing we like to think about is what our earliest memories are of having this question. Does a memory come to either of your minds?
I guess. Well, I've had these questions for a long time. I've always been curious about babies. So I know that I started asking these questions, or I'm pretty sure I started asking these questions from like two. Like, I've been asking and wanting to know these answers because I've been really curious.
You definitely were asking it very young. And again, I think it's also because of my job that you were asking a lot of these questions, and also because you were just our curious kids, like any kids, and wanting to know from very early on.
Yeah. I also wanted to know these things because I feel when I grow up, I want to have a baby. But I also feel like I want to be a midwife.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why do you want to be a midwife?
Because it seems like a pretty awesome job to work with, like, other people and to work with other babies.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have another future midwife.
And that's so awesome, Maureen, that when you had all those questions, you had a midwife to answer them all, right? So you probably got pretty good information. I wonder if the rest of us had similar experiences. Ada, do you remember when you first had this question or how you learned the answer?
I don't remember when or how old. I definitely remember that in our household, we didn't talk much about, like, sex or any, not that our parents were anything, you know, they're very liberal, and but it was just not something that we talked about much about. But I don't remember what age. But we had, my sister is 11 months older than us, and then I have a twin, so we were like, you know, Irish triplets. And we were always the three girls, you know, we always had kind of each other to talk to. And then, yeah, Shachar came a little 7 years later, but we probably most of the questions and things we kind of did between us, I don't know if with our parents as much.
Yeah. Do you remember if you guys gave each other good information about this, or if it was some confusion?
Probably not, but I don't remember. I definitely remember as a teenager, or kind of preteen, like 11, 12, we had these, you know, these teen magazines with, like, you know, questions about the, you know, there was like a column of a woman that answers like questions, any questions. And I still remember some of the questions, which were kind of what you talked about if, I use a towel of somebody. That I remember that was one of the questions, and I still remember it as an adult. If I use a towel from somebody, from a man, can I get pregnant?
No.
That's right. You know the answer to that.
No,
that's a no.
Because you probably won't have a sperm on it.
Yeah, that, or you maybe you might, will, but like, it's,
but that's still not how it works.
Yeah.
You have to actually meet with a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the conditions have to be pretty perfect.
Yeah, and the sperm would have to get inside your body, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Also, I don't know how it will live on a towel.
Exactly. The sperm,
it has to live inside the body. I don't think it can live outside the body.
That's true. The sperms do not survive outside the body. And also, you need either a penis or something to insert it into the body. And it doesn't come in from the towel.
Yeah. If you just put a towel on you, it won't work because if you just do this.
Yeah, Orina's rubbing the fake towel against her forearm for demonstration.
With the towel, it's not going to work because that's not how it's going to be, the egg meat.
But that's questions that definitely girls have or had. And I remember reading it every week or every month. I don't remember if it was, but so those kind of things. Like, and we had also like sex ed in our school. I think it was like fifth or sixth grade, but it wasn't very, you know, it was our teacher that didn't give a lot of information. I don't remember. It was very helpful.
Yeah. I don't remember at any point in my life having a sex-related talk with my parents about becoming pregnant or preventing pregnancy or what that meant or how it happened. I think my earliest memory of learning about pregnancy and baby making was in sex ed. I think I knew before then how it happened. I mean, I don't think I entered high school without understanding fully, but no, definitely I don't remember having the question in my mind.
Yeah, I was an older sibling, so I remember my mom being pregnant. And my mom was pregnant when I was three, two and a half and three. And so I'm sure I asked at that point, I don't really remember it, but I feel like because of that, I had a sense from early on about kind of sperm and eggs or people coming together to grow a baby. I definitely understood the uterus part and why we were C-sections. But yeah, I don't think it was until later that I learned how a sperm and an egg can meet. And so even in middle school, when I definitely knew that it didn't really make sense that I could just become pregnant, but I still got nervous when every time it was time for me to have my period, for the few days before, I would get really nervous that it wasn't going to come and that I would accidentally be pregnant, even though I knew that didn't make any sense. But I don't know whether that just speaks to my anxiety or if it speaks to the fact that I didn't have as clear an understanding as I thought I did, or I didn't feel totally sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, every month I'd be like, oh gosh, am I pregnant? But I never was. Yeah, but I think like being around for my sister's birth process, I learned a lot from that.
And do you remember, Adva or Izzy, what someone said to you when you had these questions?
Yeah, I don't think don't remember any conversation saying with my parents about sex at all. I lived in a kibbutz, which is like a community, and I mean, not that you still have the parents that, of course, you talk to, but also you have kind of the class and your, it's more than school. You have like a person that's kind of takes care of you, and I remember her, you know, buying me pads and giving me pads, for example, when I got my period for the first time. And I'm sure my mom did too, but I definitely remember that more than my mom talking to me about the period or, but yeah, but it wasn't about sex. It was more about the period and kind of just, you know, managing the bleeding, you know, more than just the what it's for and why it's happening and, you know, and about sex, of course. There was no, not much conversation. But again, like, it was a lot of with our friends. I think most of the things that I learned was from either if it was good or bad information was from my sisters, cousins, friends that we were all kind of mm-hmm. learning together.
Yeah, I think I got lucky with a middle school science teacher also who got into the details of like sperm and eggs. So at least by like sixth, seventh grade, I had a teacher who explained it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got a lot of theories from. I remember when Glee was on. I don't know if Glee was a thing for you, Abba, the show.
No,
but when Glee was on, yeah, when we were in early high school, there's a character who thinks that she got pregnant in a hot tub, and it's not until the end of the season that you find out that's not actually how she got pregnant. But I remember being like, wait, that's not real, right? But the show was acting like it was real, and I wasn't totally sure if that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, like, all men, if they're having trouble with the baby, they sit in, like, a hot tub until it comes out.
That's true. That's in labor. That really helps the pain of the labor, the contractions.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just really, really hurts. Mm-hmm. So you sit in a hot tub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great way to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
In a hot tub.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
So you already explained part of this, Aureen, but the last question is we just each share how we would explain this to a kid, how we would answer the question, how do people make a baby? So you talked a little bit. Do you want to talk some more about how people can make a baby?
Okay. So I would answer it by starting off saying that a woman and a man has to meet.
Mm-hmm.
When they meet, the sperm and the egg meet, as I said. And yes, they make a baby and they have to choose, and it goes as a process, as it goes through the body. It takes a while, and it does take a while, but you'll feel so relieved after. You'll be like, oh, yay, I did it, and it's so much fun.
You'll be very proud of yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
So sometimes the process of actually growing a baby and having a baby is hard work.
But yeah.
You're saying it's worth it?
It's worth it, but it can be hard.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you would explain it to a kid, or do you have other pieces?
I usually, what I was saying to Maya and Aureen, I always try to use, depending on the age appropriate, but very simple language and very truthful and appropriate, or the real names for, you know, the organs, the process, I don't like when people like make up names for
the organs and the uterus,
the vagina or penis uterus, or just trying to kind of explain it very simple, but
also trying not to like
to make up stuff.
Yeah, trying not to make up stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but so I would, so usually, so for when we talked, right, when we said that, you know, yes, you're right, two people need to meet.
Yes.
There need to be a sperm and an egg. Yeah. Usually.
And then the penis and the vagina, the penis has to go into the vagina so the sperm and the egg can meet.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's not just meeting each other.
Yeah. It's not like we can just wave hello and then get pregnant.
Yeah.
Or hug or a kiss.
Yeah. You don't just have to, like, just hug. You do have to have the penis go into the vagina.
That's right. Most of the, yeah, that's right. So mostly kind of trying to use, you know, proper
words.
Names
and
but also kind of keeping it simple, and also seeing like the kid and how they are receptive, what they want to know, with how much information they want to know. With Maya, for example, she doesn't like to talk about it too much.
Yeah,
right? So
doesn't talk about it that much.
She
doesn't like to talk about it that much.
Right.
So. The feeling of it for her just doesn't feel good for her. I don't know why, but she just doesn't appreciate it as much.
So everybody's different. Yeah, that's something that we really advocate for with parents is, especially for those of us who are sexuality educators or midwives or people who work with this, when someone asks us a question, when a kid asks a question, we might want to tell them everything we know about it, give them a ton of information. I've definitely made that mistake before, but yeah, just like you said, it's much more helpful to just answer exactly what they asked and then see if they want more information, right? Not say, like, sit down and let me tell you everything, but just, how is that sitting with you? Do you need a day or two to think about that before you have your next question?
Yeah, so ask one question every day, and if they say, hey, can we, like, do a bit more, then you can, like, do a bit more instead of, like, filling their head with stuff that they don't want.
That's exactly it, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let them, let the kid lead the way, right, and tell you how much information they want.
Because if you fill their head with stuff that they don't want to know, then they won't actually learn anything you're telling them.
So true.
That's true.
So, Izzy, what is the initial explanation you would give if a kid asked you how a baby was made?
So I would definitely say something really similar to what Laureen said, that you need a sperm and an egg. And just like we were trying to talk about before in terms of gender and how it relates to sperm and eggs, I might want to make that a little clearer by saying, like, you know, people who are born with penises usually have sperm. People who are born with vaginas usually have eggs. Mm-hmm. So you need one body with a sperm and one body with an egg to come together to make a baby. And that can either happen through some kinds of sex, right? Like the kinds of sex where a penis goes into a vagina can be one way to get a sperm from one body into a body with an egg.
Yeah.
Or a doctor can take a sperm and an egg from two bodies and put them together and then put them back into someone's body. And like you said, you need a uterus for them to grow. So you can either, start in the uterus of the person who had sex, or a doctor can put it into someone's uterus. And like Aureen said, it's a long process to grow the baby. And then, Aureen, do you want to tell us about how a baby comes out? Because I don't think we really talked about that.
So a baby comes out, it can come out in two ways. If it's not, like, if something happens to the body, they can either,
have the surgery.
Yes, have the surgery and take the baby out. Or if it's going better, they have a process for the baby to slip out of the vagina by itself.
What's the name of the process, do you remember?
In labor.
Right, labor.
Labor. Mm-hmm. So when someone's in labor, it's a bit easier, still not as easy, but it's easier than having a surgery, because when you have a surgery, it can go a bit rough. You also have to be, the doctor has to be very gentle with it, not to disturb the baby.
Yeah, so a surgery might have more risks that could happen, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it will have more risks in surgery, but it's also hard to have it without surgery, or like when it just slips out, because stuff happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long process, and sometimes.
Yeah, and since, like, I was telling Mommy that the baby doesn't know what time it is, it doesn't matter if you're born in the middle of the night or at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Very true.
That's right. That's
baby
right.
Baby comes when it wants to come.
It does not have a watch inside there.
Yeah, it doesn't just, like, have a watch on its wrist and goes, oh, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll just wait till 12 in the day. 12
in the afternoon.
12 in the afternoon.
That's right.
But wouldn't that be nice?
It just comes when it wants to. Yeah. Definitely
from
midwives.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice, but that's not how it works.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Rebecca? Do you have any other thoughts to add?
I don't. I loved everyone's answer, and I'm glad that we touched on ways to make a baby that didn't involve intercourse. Because I feel like we were sort of teetering on it before, and we didn't quite mention it as far as how we would approach it with kids. So I'm glad that you did.
Yeah, I really like just emphasizing, like, everybody who wants to be a parent can be a parent. It just might happen in different ways. Like, not everybody's uterus can grow a baby. Not everybody's sperm can make a baby. But you can definitely be a parent one way or another, whether it's through adoption or sperm donated from somebody else, or an egg donated from somebody else, or somebody
or a surrogate.
Exactly. So there's always a way to be a parent if you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. We talked about that. You don't need to be married.
Don't need to be married. You just have to have the sperm and the egg.
That's all you need.
That's right. All you need.
All you need to get a baby is to have the sperm bag meat.
And maybe a place for them to grow.
Yeah, maybe a place for them to grow, but...
Yeah. Is there anything else that anybody wants to say?
Cool. The only, and maybe it's a topic for a different discussion, but I also, like, and when we talk about sex in general, I always kind of like to say that it's not, sex is not only for making babies, and I feel like that's also important for kids to know from early on, is that it's also fun and enjoyable, and there are a lot of different reasons for people to have sex that doesn't involve a baby.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that you said that. That's super important.
Yeah, there's also more ways to have babies
than just you don't, sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you'll adopt a kid. It doesn't always have to be you being pregnant.
And if you want to have sex and not have a baby, there are ways to do that, like through using condoms that block a sperm from getting to an egg, or like I take birth control pills every day that make my uterus not a good place for a baby to grow. So,
exactly. We talked about having, there are some different medications that help people to not have babies.
Yeah. There are ways to have babies and to not have babies and to get babies and to not get babies.
Definitely a very big and interesting subject. With lots of questions and answers.
Just waiting to be answered.
So many questions just waiting to be answered. That was beautiful. Oreen's going to be hosting this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, Oreen, when you're a midwife, we're going to be calling you with all our questions, okay?
Yeah, exactly. You'll have people calling you and asking all these questions.
I guess, Oreen, I have a question for you. What would you say to a grown-up whose kid asked them, how do people make a baby? And they said, you're too young to know that. I'm not ready to talk to you about that yet. What would you say to them?
I would say that that's not fair, because you can know from any age. It's not inappropriate. It's just something, it's just nature. That's just how it works. It's not inappropriate, and it's okay for any age.
That's very true.
Thanks, Oreen. Powerful words.
Mm-hmm. And we agree.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We do agree. I didn't tell her to say that, I swear.
No, I didn't either. That just means that you're thinking about it very correctly. And because everyone should know. Yeah. And when you start from a young age, that's when you know. And
And it's better to start from a young age and continue to a higher age, because if you learn more about it, you'll get ready for it when you actually do want to do it.
Mm. Yeah, right? It helps to know something for longer and know it better.
Yeah.
And as we get older, our questions change and we learn different aspects to something that we think we knew fully.
Yeah.
Right? We keep learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you start out young. Maybe you start out young and ask questions that can be easily answered, and get a bit older and ask questions that people may not know.
Yeah, definitely.
That's very true. You, even at your age, you ask me questions that I don't know.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to know everything. I'm not expecting you to know every question, to answer every question I ask.
So what should happen if you ask your mom a question that she doesn't know the answer? What should happen next?
We just keep going, and sometimes we take it and we take another question to make a new conversation to answer that question that we asked.
To learn together sometimes. Yeah.
It's kind of like math. Yeah. When you ask a question, you use a different math problem to answer the math problem you asked.
Yeah, that's very true. Awesome. And we do research too, right?
Yeah.
We read in books or Google or the internet.
Yeah, sometimes
for answers.
We Google something.
Yeah.
And honestly, then we'll just read it. See, oh, this is this, and that's that.
Abba and Noreen, right. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
I feel like I learned some stuff. I learned something new every episode.
I love talking to you, always. Bye.
It was so interesting having a kid on the podcast. Especially, I mean, Orion is a particular child because was exposed to this information her whole life. So I feel like, you know, I kept trying to see if she had any questions and she really didn't.
A lot of answers. She really...
A lot of answers. Yeah. I mean, it's just such a wonderful example of what we advocate for over and over again, that it's really never too young to start having these conversations, because if kids are listening and are interested and curious, then they're going to absorb it and they're going to comprehend it. And it's not going to be something that scares them. How is it for you?
Well, you know, I've known Noreen since she was 4, maybe 3. So it's just been a joy to watch her continue to grow. And as exactly as she said, ask more and more complex questions and talk about more and more complex things. And honestly, she's like an incredible conversationalist. Always fun to get to talk to Noreen. So it's great to hear how a kid would explain something to a kid, because she knows pretty well how to talk to kids as a kid herself.
Right. The answer is very similar to the answers that we would give and want other people to give kids.
Right. Right. Basically talk to kids like they're full people.
Right. Demystify the body, because everyone has one and it's really quite simple.
Yeah.
We're really excited for the sound to be edited this season and engineered by Mike Morangelo, who volunteered his time to making this sound more professional, which is really a relief to us and saves me and Izzy a lot of hours of unpaid labor. So really wonderful to pawn off unpaid labor to someone else. Thank you, Mike.
Don't forget that you can contribute to the making of this podcast through our Patreon.com/yes2consent. The link is in our description. And you can help make sure that this podcast stays afloat, that we can pay our guests, compensate them for their time and their thoughts, and maybe one day even pay ourselves. We'll keep dreaming. We're just gonna thank all of our sex ed sustainers: Susan Abraham, Alexandra Wolkoff, Molly Waggett, Katie Gifford, and Leonard. Thank you. Hosted by Rebecca Klein and me, Izzy Abraham Raveson. Edited by me, Izzy Abraham Raveson. Original music by Austin Alfano. Artwork by Rebecca Klein and Jackie Soro. And a special thanks to the young people who asked the questions and inspired this podcast.